Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be alive. I'm glad to be here with you. And I'm glad you made the right decision to get out of bed and get here. Some of you are happy about it. I guess I'm going to have to keep you awake this morning. But before I do that, I'm going to ask the Lord to help me, and I'm going to pray that He speaks to your heart. Lord God, we are grateful to be here together. We're grateful to be in the house of the Lord. We're thankful for Jesus and for His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Lord, I thank you for the people here in front of me. Lord, I pray that your word will speak to them, it'll convict them, and it'll do exactly what you want it to do in their very hearts, lives, and minds. Help me to speak. May you receive all the glory for anything that's accomplished. We pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, I've got a simple message for you today. It's real simple, but it's real hard to follow. Because guess what? Following Jesus is an impossible task by yourself. I'm here to tell you, I know for a fact, from experience, that following Jesus in and of your own strength is an impossible task. But with Jesus, with His help, with His power, it's something that can be done. Amen? So I literally entitled the sermon, Set the Sin Down and Run. If you don't remember anything I have to say, set the sin down and run. So the question is, how well do you follow Jesus? That's kind of a sobering question, is it not? Well, you either follow Him closely, you follow kind of far behind where you can just see Him, or you really don't follow Him all. You're going in the opposite direction. Anybody seen the movie Home Alone? Remember when the kid basically, he's in the airport there, and he takes his eyes off his dad. His dad's wearing a certain color coat, and he looks at his Walkman or whatever he has there, gets distracted just for a few moments to put his batteries in that thing, and then he looks back up. He thinks he sees his dad, but it's another person that has the exact same color on his dad, and so he follows that guy, and guess what? He ends up getting on the wrong plane, and he ends up in France. Y'all remember this? Well, essentially, that's what we do when we get our eyes off of Jesus. We get distracted, and then we end up going the wrong way. Anybody done that? Yeah, you should both all have all your hands up. Yep, that's me too. Okay, so I'm pointing the picture at you. I'm pointing the picture at me too. I'm here to tell you, you don't follow Jesus closely, you're going to end up in places that you don't want to be. Because sin's always going to take you way further than you want to go. And there's going to be some result of that sin. And the Bible says sin brings forth what? Death. You might not die immediately. Adam and Eve, of course, they said, hey, just don't eat this one tree. And of course they ate, right? And then, did they die immediately? No, but they did die. Satan deceives us into thinking that, hey, do your own thing. Follow your own path. Do it the way you want it. It won't be that bad. The result won't be that bad. Well, guess what? That's surely a lie, because Satan is the father of lies, is he not? So I wanted to bring you to the passage. There's just two verses today to speak about. I want you to really get this from Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. You're probably familiar with it because you've probably heard it preached 100 times. But even if you've heard it preached 100 times, well, guess what? One more time is going to hopefully help set the record straight for you and help put you on the right path and help keep you on the right path. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says this. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, as we've learned from Hebrews 11, let's just stop there for a second. That's not just me. It says let us. That's all of us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares or entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The question is, are you looking unto Jesus? Are you following him closely? Or have you been distracted by the sin and the enticements of this world? And guess what? The sin and enticements, they're not too hard to find. You just pull out your back pocket and boom, there it is. All the sin and enticements that you would ever want, right here. So convenient. Just slip it in your pocket. Man, nobody knows about it. I got it right there. You know, the devil is doing his absolute best to get you distracted, to get you off course, to get you doing things that God does not want you to do, or even just neglecting the things that God wants you to do, because that's sin too, right? Because the Bible says, if we know to do good and we don't do it, it's sin. So if you know to tell your neighbor, hey, Jesus died for you, and you don't do it, guess what? That's sin. That's what the Bible says. It's missing the mark. It's missing what God's best for you is. And that's what Satan wants to constantly do to you, to me. Get us off course. Just get us distracted a little bit. Because when we get distracted, guess what? We're going to lose focus on Jesus. We're going to lose focus on what we're supposed to be doing in this life. God didn't call you. He didn't forgive you to then say, hey, you've been forgiven. Now, go ahead. Keep on sinning. My grace is going to abound. No, he doesn't say that. Romans 6:1, he says, God forbid that we keep sinning that God's grace might abound. God forbid, right? You remember Peter when he was walking on the water? Well, let me just reintroduce you if you don't remember this. In Matthew 14, he says this in verse 25 through 32. He says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Verse 30. But, when he saw the wind, here he is, he's distracted. Saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So let's jump back to Hebrews here for a second. Let us, guess what? That's all of us, self-included. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us or entangles us. Anybody fallen into the thicket, the thorns, and they stick into you, right? And then you get into it more, and you get stuck more. And then you're trying to get out of it. It's pulling on you, and it's hurting. Anybody been there? I've been there too many times. Joey, come on up here. I need some help here, man. You know? So you got to lay aside the sin. You know, that sounds real nice, but how do you do that? How do you lay aside the sin? In a world where sin is always in front of us, temptation's always in front of us. It's so convenient. It's right here, man. How do I do that? Well, you got to look to Jesus. He is the author and finisher of your faith. Joey, I'm going to have you sit down over here, or I'll pull the seat over here. Let's grab a seat there. Now, we're just going to pretend today that Joey's a Christian. Now, we pray that he is, and, you know, he's got some good fruit, so praise the Lord. But, you know, I didn't bring my weights today, but just for illustration purposes, he's going to go ahead and carry this, that weight. It's a little heavy, right? Now, if I tell him to run a race against me, I don't have anything in my hands. Is he going to win? That's just one way. We need to weigh you down a little bit more. I need chance to win here. So we're just going to go ahead and grab another one. Go ahead. Here's some more sin in your life, Joey. Go ahead. Go ahead and run now. Go ahead.
Damn, these shoes ain't gonna like it.
I need to see you run fast all the way around. Go ahead. Have a seat back. I'm just going to weigh you down a little bit more because that's not enough. We need to weigh you down with something real heavy. And this is what sin does to us. It weighs us down. God wants us to run the race for him. And if we got weights in our hands, sin, how are we going to run? Now, Joey, how are you going to run like that? He's got a lot of sin in his life. Y'all are laughing, but a lot of you guys out here have a lot of sin in your life too. God calls us to set the sin down. He says in 1 John 1:9, hey, if we confess our sins, Joey, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, hey, we got to set the sin down. Put it down. Now you're free from your sin. Go ahead and run down the straight path right there, Joey. Show us how you can run.
Good to go.
Praise the Lord. If we got a bunch of sin in our life, how are we going to run for the Lord? Or how am I going to be in a good example? 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, faith, speech, conduct, purity, all manners of your life. So how am I going to be a good example to somebody if I'm stuck in my sin over here? I'm not. They're just going to call me a hypocrite, man. Hey, man, you're just doing the exact same things I'm doing. God didn't intend us to be forgiven and then to run right back to our sin. He says, lay the sin aside so that you can run. So I wanted to just touch on a few sins here. Exodus 20, you know, he says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image, thou shalt not bow thyself to them. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. These are just a few sins here, okay? There's a lot of sins in the book. He says James, if you commit one sin, guess what? James 2:10, if you commit just one sin, you're guilty of committing all. So guess what? Everybody's guilty. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all in need of his mercy. We all need of his grace. We all need of Jesus Christ's forgiveness. And that's why Jesus Christ came. He came so that our sins can be forgiven. And then he said to the woman at the well, and he said to the man at the pool of Bethesda, he said to these two instances, he said, go and sin no more. He said, he didn't say have been forgiven you, so go ahead and keep living the life you want to. He says, go and sin no more. And then to the man at the well, he says, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing happen unto you. Exodus 20, verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Most of us know the Ten Commandments. I shouldn't have to go through them with you. But if you don't know where they're at, guess what? Exodus chapter 20. I'm here to tell you, I don't know them all by heart myself in a row, but I know exactly where they're at. In Exodus 20, it says, thou shalt not kill, honor thy father and mother, thou shalt not commit adultery, shalt not steal, shalt bear false witness, thou shalt not cover the nose. So these are just some sins. I want to introduce you to some more sins. You already know about this. You're probably well acquainted, right? Proverbs 6, 16 and 19, it says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Galatians 5, here's the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to kind of jump here a little bit. I had a guy I knew once, and he said, "Hey, Keith, I'm going to go out on the town. And I'm not going to tell you everything he told me, but he says, I'm going to do this sin. I'm going to do this sin. I'm going to go in this place. I'm going to take this substance." And he went on a long list of things that he was going to do to enjoy himself. And he said, and I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa," because he said he was a Christian. I said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Something's wrong here." He's like, no, it's okay. I said, "How is this okay?" Because it's okay, because when I'm done with all of that, I'm just going to come to God and ask him to forgive me. I said, "God forbid." Romans 6:1, God does not want you to keep sinning that God's grace might abound. God does not, he didn't save you. He saved you. He says, "Be holy as I'm holy." 1 Peter 1:16. God wants you to be holy. He wants you to be live a different way. And if we're living in the wrong way, just like everybody else, well, guess what? We're not going to be an example to them. We're not going to be a testimony to them. And we're going to turn them off and they'll say, "Hey, you're doing everything that I'm doing. Why should I follow the Jesus that you're following?" You got your life all mixed up yourself. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God wants us to be singly focused on him. But I'm here to tell you, when you get distracted by the things of this world, when you get distracted by your sin, all the enticements that are in front of you, whatever sin it might be, it's going to mess you over. But God doesn't want you to stay messed over. He wants you to confess it, forsake it, repent. And repentance is not, "God, hey, I got my sin here. God, forgive me. Keep on going the wrong direction. God, forgive me. Keep going the wrong direction." Repentance is, "God, I have messed up. I've sinned against you. I've done all sorts of things that I shouldn't have done. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. I need your mercy. And I need your help. I need your power to turn the opposite way and now walk in the right direction." Not keep going in the wrong direction and saying, "God, forgive me," and thinking that I can just ask forgiveness and just keep on going down the wrong stinking path. I think sometimes we get repentance mixed up. True repentance is, "Hey, I've messed up, and I need help to go on the right path." Guess what? Jesus says, "Without me, you can do nothing. But through the power of Christ, you can." In order to lay down the sin, you need the help of God. I need the help of God. Without his power, without his help, without his mercy, without his grace, I can't put the sin down. I'm bound to it. But guess what? Once I'm free from my sin, why do I want to come back to this, man? This was the life of death. This was the life of misery. But Satan and your flesh keep tempting you day in and day out to think that that was the best life. That's not the best life. I know from experience, that's the worst life possible. John 3:36, he says, "He that has the Son has life, and he has not the Son of God has not life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Revelation 21, verse 8 says, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. The bad news is, without Jesus Christ, you're going straight to hell. That's what the word says. Oh, that's harsh. Well, that's what the word says. And hey, but there is a way of escape. Praise be unto God. There is a way of escape. It's called through the cross. It's called through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He was the perfect sacrifice. He did fight for your sins. Romans 5:8. He demonstrated his love towards you. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. He died for all of your sins. And God forbid that we keep sinning that God's grace might abound. That guy knew he had messed up. James 4:17, it says, know to do good and don't do it. Guess what? It is sin. A lot of us think, well, I don't do that. I don't do the adultery thing. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't look at this. I don't do this. I don't do that. But the Bible says, if you know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin. Man, this is too hard. Yeah, it is hard. But with Christ, it's possible. Because he makes it possible. You need him constantly. I need him constantly. And if I take my eyes off him for just but a second to think, hey, I can look back, I'm in trouble. Because sin always has consequences, and sin will always weigh you down, and sin always brings forth death. So I want to tell you about when I ran cross country. I know I don't look like I ran cross country because I'm about 100 pounds more than I used to run back in the day, okay? But I was 130 pounds and I'm about 230, praise be to God. But I ran cross country, believe it or not. Anybody here run cross country? Okay, a few of you. So a few of you guys know and understand what I'm about to say here. Well, there were some lessons that I want to share with you that I learned from my coach that can be translated into the Christian realm, the Christian life, okay? First one is this. Never look back. When you're running, my coach would tell me, never look back. Don't look back to see if there's someone back there. Never look back where you've been. Just keep your eyes focused and run straight. Don't look back. In the Christian life, we like looking back, don't we? We keep looking back. Remember that person that looked back and they turned into a pillar of salt? Lot's wife, remember that? Don't look back to see where others are at. It'll just slow you down. Don't compare yourself to another person. Don't look back at the things you used to do. Hey, press forward to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Number two, press on. There is a prize to be won. If you're running, you're trying to win the prize. I think sometimes as Christians, though, we don't realize we're even in the race, and we're not even running. We're not even walking, man. We're just sitting there, holding on to our sin. Bible says, put the sin down so that you can run. Number three, when you want to quit because of the pain, press on. I got six lessons here. Number four, keep your eyes on the prize and stay focused. Don't get distracted. Man, I'm telling you, man, when you're running like 3 miles, 5K race, there's a lot of things to distract you. But I'm here to tell you, in a Christian life, 10, 20, 30, 50, 70, 80 years, there's a whole lot of things to distract you. I was talking to my grandpa. He's passed on now, but I was talking to him probably 5 years ago. I said, Gramps, is there ever a day that, and he was like probably 87 at the time. I was like, there ever a day that you don't like, you're not tempted? Like, you don't see a woman go by and you're not like tempted to, you know, look for even just a second or whatever else? And he's like, son, until you die, you're going to be tempted. So if you're living and breathing, guess what? I hate to break it to you, but you're going to be tempted. And Jesus was tempted as we are in all points that we are, yet without sin. Praise the Lord. And he says he provides a way of escape from the temptation. We're tempted every day, but that doesn't mean we have to fall to the temptation. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, he says, hey, I give you now the power, the ability to say no to sin. Before you met Christ, hey, that's all you did. You were bound to it. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. You're a slave to sin. But now, hey, you're different. You've been forgiven, and now you get to serve and follow and obey me rather than serving and follow, obey yourself. You want the good life? Everybody wants the good life, right? Everybody wants to be blessed. You want to be blessed? Anybody want to be here blessed in here? Well, you got to follow the Lord. You follow your own way, then you can't be blessed. You got to follow God's way. So don't get distracted. Number five, my coach said this. Hey, when you're running, do your absolute best. Let's translate that to Christian life. Are you doing your absolute best? God knows if you're doing your absolute best. And you know if you're doing your absolute best. But if you're not giving your absolute best, why not? Usually, it's because sin has crept in, distracted you, and messed you up. How do I know? I know from experience. Just like you do. Don't look at me weird now, right? And finally, number six, he says this, finish strong. When you see the finish line, when you done run your, you know, almost three miles here, your race, finish strong. It's not time to slow up. Hey, man, the finish line is just right there, man. I can just slow up a little bit. I'm almost there. No, he says, give it your 110%. You might be tired, you might be achy, you might be sore, you might be sweating bullets, but finish strong. And that's what God wants for us. Guess what? Hey, Lord's coming back soon. I don't know if you figured that out yet, but the Lord is coming back, and the finish line is like right here. So rather than finish poorly, finish strong. If you're in the race, if you are a Christian, you've begun the race, hey, run your race with patience. Run your race. Set your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You focus on yourself. You focus on your different things going on. You focus on your sin. Hey, you're not going to make it. So you have a choice today. You have a choice every day of life. Did you know that? You made the choice to come to church today. That's a good choice. You're going to have a choice when you get to work tomorrow or today. You're going to have a choice of what you're going to talk to people about. You have a choice of whether you're going to turn away from sin or you're going to embrace sin. You're going to have a choice whether I'm going to follow Jesus Christ closely or I'm going to just kind of step over here and, yeah, I'll just kind of live my life. And, yeah, I think I can do these two things together. You can be a double-minded, unstable in all your ways, man. You can live your life of sin or you can set the sin down and run. Hey, when you set the weight down, the sin down, You can now run the race God has for you. But you have to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. If you don't keep your eyes on him, you're going to fall. And you're going to stay down. You know, the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is obviously the non-Christian, he's kind of like a pig. The pig stays in the mud. He wallows in the mud. The non-Christian, he stays in his sin. But the Christian is referred to as a sheep. And sheep, guess what? Sheep, when they follow into the mud, in sin, if you will, a Christian falls into sin, they say, hey, man, I don't belong here. I got to get out. And I can't help myself out. So I got to cry to the shepherd, Jesus Christ, help me out. I need help. Pull me out. Now clean me up and set me on the right path because I don't belong here with the pigs in the sin. I don't belong here. So to recap here, number one, lay aside your sin. Number two, run the race that God has for you. And number three, look to Jesus at all times. The race is going to get grueling. It's going to get tough. I know from experience from running cross country, but hey, the race of life can get difficult, can it not? We have all sorts of trials and tribulations, temptations that lie before us even today, tomorrow, this whole week. I've got to run to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I got to get power from him. Because without him, I can't run this race. Without him, you can't run the race. But praise God, he says, through Christ you can do all things, through Christ who strengthens you. So I'd like you just to kind of examine yourself. Where am I at? Have you laid aside the sin? Have you put it down? Have you run the race that God has for you? And are you looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith? For some of us, we might not even know the Lord ourselves. You know, the times I've doubted my salvation in my life is when I was like, man, am I really running the race for God? And it's like, why question? Because, hey, I'm living in sin. When you're living in sin, you're like, man, do I even know the Lord? I'm this Titus 1:16 person. I profess that I know God. Hey, I know God. But in my works, I'm denying him. Everything I'm doing, I'm denying that I know God. God wants us to have good fruit, and good trees bring forth good fruit. Amen? Bad trees bring forth bad fruit. Good trees can't bring forth good fruit. So if you're bringing forth bad fruit, you have to ask yourself, hey, am I even a good tree? Because if I see bad fruit, do I even know the Lord in the first place? And guess what? God wants all to come to repentance. God wants to have his hand of mercy on everybody. That's why he died for everybody. Praise the Lord. Not everybody's going to receive him. Not everybody's going to believe and repent and turn away from their sins. Psalm 50:10 to end here. It says this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God didn't save you to forgive you of your sins to just say, hey, go ahead and go back to your old ways. Turn back. Go ahead. It's okay. I'll forgive you. God forgave us so that we can now run the race. And how can you say I'm running the Christian life, running the good race, when you're still holding on to sin in your life? You're still weighed down by your sin. And that's what sin does for us. It weighs us down. We've got to confess it. We've got to forsake it. We've got to bring it to the foot of the cross. And I don't know where you're at today. You might need to come to this altar today. You might need to come and get saved. If you're a Christian, you might just need to come and do business with God. You might just need to come lay your sin at the altar and let God forgive you, clean you up, and put you on the right path. Don't look back. Push forward in the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father God, we are grateful for your death, your burial, and resurrection. We're thankful for the forgiveness of sins. And Lord, if there's anyone in this place that's holding on to some sin, Lord, I pray that they'll come put it at the foot of the cross. I pray that they'll repent of it, turn away from it, to lay it down, and to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. And God, that you'll miraculously forgive them and give them the strength and power they need to run for you 100%. Lord, it's evident you're coming back soon. And Lord, every single one of us in this place, we need your help, we need your strength, we need your guidance, we need your boldness, we need your wisdom, we need the power to live godly in Christ Jesus. Because God, without you, we can't do anything. Lord, motivate these people to do what they need to do. If they need to come forward to this altar and pray for themselves or for another one, for a loved one, if they need to get saved, they'll come and repent and get their heart right. God, wherever they're at, I pray that you'll move them to do the right thing. I pray it in the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.